Pastor Phil, you know what? Today I feel really good and I feel really bad. I'll tell you why I feel really good. It's just so great to have the privilege of being here once again. It's so great that Pastor Phil and Christina and their great children are here. Amen? Amen. So I feel so great about the atmosphere that's here, but I feel so bad for the Church and Sioux Lookout. I really do. But I feel better for you. I honestly do. And so it is indeed a privilege to be here. An honor indeed. Pastor Phil spoke so well about honoring, and we want to do that today. We want to honor people. We want to give thanks to God for a few events that have taken place recently, and of course officially install this couple as pastor here at Rockcliff. I'm asking those board members who are here today with your spouses, if you'd be kind enough to come forward and just stand here. We want to involve you in this process as well. And anyone who served on the search committee who might be here along with your spouse, if you'd come forward as well, because you were key players in this whole event. And as they come, let me just honor them. Because of what I do now, I had the behind-the-scenes look at what these folks were doing, the sacrifices they were making, the time they were spending, the highs and the lows of the whole process. And I've said this before on Election Day, but I have no shame in saying it again. You folks did a terrific job. It was a pleasure to work with you. Amen. Let's thank them, shall we? You did a terrific job. Tony, you did a great job as the chairperson. It was an absolute delight working with you and getting to know you a little bit. It was an absolute pleasure. It really was. So Pastor Phil and Christina, if you'd come forward at this time, and maybe just stand about here, and then I'm going to ask others just to gather in behind them. Come out of your line here and just stand behind and look at me. It's almost like a marriage ceremony here today. And it is. A special price for you. We can renew vows at the same time. We can do that. Not bad, eh? Christina, thanks for your worship leading today. I had no idea you had that gifting, that ability. That was absolutely tremendous. Thank you not only for the talent that you bring to that event, but the heart. More importantly, that you bring your heart and mind that comes with it. It really looks like you love Christ. It really does. And I really believe it. And that's terrific. It's obviously full of integrity and sincerity. And to get to know your children, I really haven't got to know them. I've got to observe them, got to chat a little bit, but what remarkable kids. So I'll tell you a quick little story. I'm sitting in Pastor Phil's office this morning, and I guess your youngest, Abby, came in. And Phil so kindly said, well, here's one of my bosses. And she comes over, and she puts her arm around my neck. I mean, I have never experienced this in a pastor's office from a little child I just met. And so either she's just so loving or affectionate, or you primed her really well. Hug the boss. Made me look really good here. I have a feeling it's the former. This is the real deal with Abby. And that's something I won't forget. Before we get into the installation, and don't worry, folks, this isn't going to take forever, I promise you. But here's what came to my mind today. As you observe Remembrance Day, and what a beautiful observation, or observance, that's it. I observed a beautiful observance. Well done. Anyone who was involved in the planning of this, well done. Wow. I've seen a number of these in my 57 years, and that has to rank as one of the best. Just terrific. As you did that, I thought of my grandfather, who served in World War I, who's been in heaven for quite a while, and he was just a great guy, so my heart was tugged by that. I thought about my other grandfather. I thought about pastors that I've had, and I realized that I don't remember all of their lives or all that they ever said, but there were moments, things they said, things they did. I observed them when they didn't know I was looking at them. These are the things I remember. And I think God in his kindness allows for these things to happen. We see our family in action. They don't know we're observing. Or in the case of a pastor or a church leader, we observe them. They have no idea that we've seen that. But it has a lasting impact that lasts all of our lives. And my prayer today is that in the exercise of your pastoral ministry here, both you, Pastor Phil, and you, Christina, that as you go, obviously people are going to remember things you said and did, that's clear. But as you go about your everyday ministry, when you don't know people are looking, that thing, God, the Spirit of the Lord will cause memories to come into their minds that they'll never forget and will draw them closer together, or closer to Christ forever. Do you understand? I'm stumbling a little bit here. We're ad libbing, but I hope you understand what I'm saying, that those inadvertent things, and I'm sure you could probably tell stories of that, where people who served as ushers and Sunday school teachers, they were just doing their thing, but we remember them to this day. So let me encourage you who are serving now in this church, or are contemplating serving, as you faithfully undertake that service, people will observe things in you that will change their lives forever, and you just might never know about it. I don't know if you'll know about it in heaven or not. It won't matter at that point in time. We'll be rather captured by Jesus Christ and the Father. But at this point in time, may your everyday activity and ministry in the church and in the community, may the Spirit use those events just to draw people's attention to it, even when you're not aware of it. And may every now and then you be made aware of it, because it's real encouraging when you hear about it. It's good to hear those things as well. So let me get a little more formal here and undertake this ceremony. Today it's my delight to officially induct Reverend Phil Smith as the lead pastor of Rockcliff Pentecostal Church, Owen Sound. Doesn't that sound good, Tony? We've waited a long time to hear those words. Those are good words. Ephesians 4:11, the word of God himself tells us that Christ has given the gift of pastors to the church. This is a high and holy calling, and with it comes great responsibility. It's the duty of every pastor to diligently engage in both public and private prayer, to earnestly study God's word, that he or she might order the service of God's house according to the New Testament pattern. The pastor is to preach the word of God, to faithfully perform the responsibilities required of a minister of the gospel. These responsibilities also include the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the baptism of believers, and may there be an amazing increase in that in Jesus' name. The dedication of children, beginning next week, I just heard. That's wonderful. May there be many more. For others, not yourselves. I'm not prophesying that over you. Not to worry. Or did you want to say something, Christina? No announcements at this point. So, that's it. The performance of marriages, which is a happy event, and the burial of the dead, which is often a sad event, but for those who have passed on in Christ, a joyous time, I'm sure. You see, it's all about being God's person, in God's place, doing God's work in God's way. And we have no doubt today that he has called you, your family here, to do that. So Pastor Phil, are you now ready to be officially installed as the lead pastor of Rockcliff Pentecostal Church and faithfully serve this congregation? If so, will you answer, I am.
Woohoo!
You're in. Yeah. That's a first. That's a first as well. And we received that. Christina, I've experienced this personally with my wife, Kathy, in serving in a lead pastor position, how vital the spouse's role is. And we recognize that today, Christina. Do not take it for granted and observe the calling of God upon your life as an individual to serve alongside Phil in this great calling. So let me get official again. The work of the pastor is augmented and encouraged by the faithful support of a loving spouse and partner. Christina, thank you for your support of your husband in his ministry and the care of this congregation, which I saw with my own eyes on that Sunday morning, just how you interacted with people. I was so thrilled to see that, because you can't fake it. Either it's there or it's not, maybe to some degree, but thank you so much. You are a gift to this church, to this man, to this family, and I think people agree. I can hear that. Members of the official board of deacons, as members of the elected board, your ministry as team members with the pastor is so important to the success of this church. Thank you for your support of your pastor, board of deacons. Thank you so much. You know, a congregation, I've learned, senses it, knows it when leadership isn't getting along. When leadership is getting along, they might not take note of it, but it makes all the world of difference in a church. So I encourage you, and I have no doubt that this will occur, when there are disagreements along the way. That is not an unchristian thing. That's a normal good thing. what is a Christian thing, what is a Jesus thing, is how we process those disagreements with one another. And I have no doubt that your pastor and the board members that I've gotten to know will do that in a remarkable way. So when the disagreements come, there's no surprise in any relationship. But the great surprise and gift comes when we process it honestly, with integrity, with love. And so we thank you for your support in that today. And congregation, I remind you that this man of the Lord is the under-shepherd of your souls, and that he will give, as a laborer, an account to God someday. It is a huge responsibility. And so Pastor Phil Smith, upon the command of and order of God, how about that? The command and order of God who has brought you here. Upon the sanction of the Western Ontario District of the PAOC, and let me just pause for a moment there, Pastor Laurie Gibbons would love to be here. You've already mentioned that he's recuperating right now, and he is doing very well. And he'd love to be here because this is his church. This is where he grew up. I mean, he has so many memories here. Some of you would have memories of him. Maybe it's a good thing he's not here today. I'm not sure. But so many good memories and formation took place here. And I just want to give his greetings to you. That sounds so formal. It sounds so formal, it sounds fake, and that's no good. He really wishes he could be here, and he's just so thrilled that you folks are, because this place means so much to him. For all the churches do, but when you're from a place, there's a special attachment there. So I just wanted to pass that along. So upon these official sanctions, we induct you, we install you into the office of lead pastor of Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church, Owens Sound, Ontario. And Tony, I'm going to ask if you would just hold this microphone for me close to my face so people can continue to hear me. And you've been anointed with oil before. Come on a little closer, Christina. You're involved in this.
Okay.
So this morning, we anoint you with oil once again, as you have many times before, representing the Holy Spirit that is with you. But we also pray that at those moments of critical decision, at those turning points, at those crossroads of ministry here, that you will just have a great sense of God's Spirit upon you, leading you, speaking to you. This is the way, walk in it. Would you gather together, folks, and lay hands on this great couple? Congregation, would you stand with me today as I lead you in prayer? Hallelujah. Jesus, we give you great thanks. Holy Spirit, thank you for your leading upon this church. Jesus, we thank you for the marvelous things you have done in this place over the decades. We give you praise for the wonderful people who have gone out of this church to serve you in so many ways. And Lord, we thank you for your beloved people who are here today. Lord, I thank you for Phil and Christina. I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you for their precious children. Lord, I ask that you would guard these children by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would call on you daily. Lord, I pray that at this beginning point in their history here in Owen Sound, that these children would create relationships, that you would bring friendships into their lives. Lord, at this age, these friendships are so important. So I pray especially for the kids today. Lord, that as they're continuing to make their way in new schools, that you would just bring those precious relationships that would last a lifetime. Lord, you use those relationships as part of your keeping power over our lives. I know that personally. So I pray for their children today in a special way, Jesus. Reach out to them, guard them, we pray, in the name of Christ. Lord, I pray for Pastor Phil today, that in your name you would lead him and guide him along with his leadership team here. Lord, I pray for Christina, that you would guide her mind and her thoughts. And Lord, together you would be glorified through the ministry of this very, very precious couple. And Lord, together we pray for your lost people in Owen Sound, that you would draw yourself to them through us, through your people here. And that, Lord, I know you would do that because you love them. And I'm so thankful that they'll find a good home here at Rockcliffe. I thank you, Lord, that you can trust the leadership of this place with the new believers that you bring in. So do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. So Pastor Phil and Christina, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may this Lord equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And finally and personally, I'm just so glad you're here. Amen. Let's thank God, shall we? Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. God bless you, Christina. Bless you. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Phil. It's an honor to be with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
You may be seated. Wow. 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 Just as God has brought us here for an Esther moment, such a time as this, He's placed you here. You might say, oh, I've been here forever. God can move kings and queens. If He needed you somewhere else, He could move you somewhere else. But He has you here because of what God wants to do. And that as we link our hearts together and we open ourselves up to what He has, I think we're going to find ourselves into a position that we have not seen a whole lot yet compared to the goodness of God and what He wants to shine forth. We've been talking a lot about God. We've been talking about His name, and that His official name is Yahweh. We've talked about some of His attributes. We obviously didn't exhaust the list because there's 900 plus attributes, titles, characteristics of this God that we serve. That's why you can get a little bit excited about God, and that because you can actually get to know God, not just about Him, but His whole desire. Like we saw in Exodus, when He said to Moses, He says, and that Moses says, well, whom shall I say sent me? He says, well, tell him I am that I am sent you. I will, in other words, He says, I will be with you. My very presence, my very being will go before you and behind you. We hear that echoed in the New Testament saying, and that God says, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Holy Spirit is with us 24/7. No matter where you are, you might be taking a bath. Guess what? Holy Spirit's sitting there beside you. You might be driving down the car, in your car, driving down the road. Maybe you're in your workplace. You know, maybe you're in that quiet time by yourself. You're never by yourself. You're never by yourself. And please hear my echo in my heart. I pray that we'll never, ever try to be by ourselves, but we'll always recognize that He's there. Over the last couple weeks, we've talked about a few different things as we've been studying God, and it's really the loftiest and the most significant pursuit that you could ever undertake. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Seek Him first, and all the other things will be added and given unto you. When you get God, you get everything. When you get a healing, you get a healing. When you get a promotion in your job, you get a promotion in your job. So many of us are so accustomed to praying for things that we forgot really what it's all about. It's about His presence. And Moses, when he was facing the promised land, he says, God gave him the opportunity. He says, I'll give it to you, and I'll even send an angel before you. But God was a little upset with them because they were forgetting Him. They weren't putting Him into the place that they needed to. He says, I'll give you what you're asking, but I'm not going with you. Thank the Lord for Moses' heart when he echoed back and he says, you know what? I don't want the promised land as much as I want you. Can we echo this morning? Maybe you're here today and you're in a position where you're really desperate. You need an answer. You need some wisdom. You need a touch from God. You need a healing. You need something to break or change, like a house to sell in Sulaco, whatever it might be. Can we just kind of say, you know what? As much as I need those, I need you more. I need Him more than anything else. The very breath that we breathe is given from Him. The rewards are so great, but the risks are real. Luke 9:23 says, and then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. How will you remember our soldiers? How will you remember our God, the captain of hosts? How will you remember? We talked last week about two major stumbling blocks that we usually fall into when we're left to ourselves. And we're thinking, trying to think accurately of God, and we're trying to do it outside of what the scripture tells us. And the first one we talked about was we tend to assume that God is just like us. Oh, how many times do we do that? That's so easy for me to fall in that. When I'm facing a situation, what do? I naturally start to think, well, how would I handle this? Terrible place to start, right? But God, how would you handle this? Oh man, I'm telling you, it would diffuse so many arguments between husband and wife. It would diffuse so many moments between a boss and an employee or an employee and a boss. It would diffuse so many moments if we just pause instead of us bringing and thinking, well, how would I do this? But we pause and say, God, how would you handle this? I think that life would just all of a sudden shift just a little bit. The way we interact, the way we connect, the way we look at things would start to begin to change. But it all starts with how you view God. The second one we talked about, we tend to reduce him to measurable and controllable terms. Not do we just bring him down and assume he's just like one of us, but we start to bring him down and we get rid of the words like nothing is impossible. We start to bring it down to terms that we can handle or we can manage. I pray the wow factor returns back into our life. Not that we would ever be surprised, but we would be totally amazed every time God shows himself, whether it be in touching your daughter, whether it be in Jackie, and that she just went out, she's working with kids. Oh no, there she is in the back. Doctors tell her she's got gout. We begin to pray as a church for her. She comes back and says, I don't have gout, but there's a swelling in my knee, and my knee's giving problems, and I'm having a hard time. She was really crippled moving around. So we said, well, he that began a good work will. Let's try that again. He that began a good work will. And so we began to pray again on Sunday night. Man, if you're missing Sunday night prayer, I just encourage you, if you need a boost in your prayer life, come out Sunday night, man. It'll be like plugging into the wall and getting a surge. And that because there, God is doing something, and he says, where my people dwell together, his presence is there. So we pray for Jackie. I can't remember. Someone did. Someone put their hands on her and prayed. And all of a sudden, she says she felt this warmth go through her knee. This week, she tells me she's been on the ground crawling around with her little one that she's taken care of. May we be amazed again as we allow God to shine in every circumstance, as we begin to look to him and we begin to lift him higher and higher. Amen? I just want you to know you can never brag God too big. Amen? You can never speak too high of God, because everything we try always falls short of just how great he is. A.W. Tozer said this, worship is as pure as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. Worship is as pure as the worshipers who entertain either high thoughts of God or low thoughts of him. For this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most significant fact about any man is not what he at any given time may say or may do, but what he in his deepest heart conceives God to be like. How will you remember God on your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday? How will you remember him when things are exciting and it's the top of the world? How will you remember him when things are really difficult and the bottom seems to fall out? See, that's the most important question when it all boils down to. How do you view him? Proverbs 2, verse 1 to 5. If you have scripture, your Bible with you, I trust you do. You can open up to Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 1 to 5 just for a few moments here. That's Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. I want to read five scriptures, and I want to talk about five different things that I see from those scriptures, just to help us with this whole part of this concept of God. Then in a few moments, we're going to take the little green sheet out. You got in your bulletin. If you didn't receive one, the ushers in the back will help you to be able to get one, if you can share it with your spouse. But let's read Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as is for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Let me unpack that just for a brief moment here. In verse 1, when I look at this portion of Scripture, at verse 1, I see the very first step in seeking God is to accept, to learn, to treasure, and to store up His Word. We talked about at the very beginning when we were talking on this series of names, is if you want to get to know God, you want to get to know Holy Spirit, you want to get to know Jesus, get into His Word. John chapter 1, verse 1 tells us that Jesus is the Word. It's not a story. It's just not a storybook. And that it's a love letter to us of expressing His heart so we can get to know God intimately. Revelations calls Jesus the Word of God. Capital W, Logos. He is the Word. So one of the greatest things we see in verse 1 is seeking God is to begin to treasure His Word. I pray for a new passion to develop in your heart and my heart for reading His Word. If you're a diehard King James person, and that flip over to an NLT or an NIV. I'm not trying to convert you, but just try something different if you've stalled out on reading your Word. If you're a diehard NIV person saying, I can't understand King James, open up King James and begin to read it. Sometimes it's just a little change like that will bring everything to life again. We make it so complicated because we want to put such boxes around. Remember, the Bible was never written in English. Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, that's it. Not English. We fight over the English all the time, do we not? Yet it was never written in English. But thank the Lord for those who have studied and helped translate it and put it into a language that you and I can understand. But if you've stalled out on treasuring His Word and spending the time in His Word, try a different version. Maybe go on to one of the sites and have it read to you, and you begin to meditate on it. There's many creative ways that you can change your the way you do things. But if you're not in the Word, then you're really not in Him. You're missing out on the beauty of who He is. I know it might be a very bold statement, but reality is, He is the Word, and He's wanting you to get to know Him. It'd be no different than for my wife and I, we would, when we got married and we said, I do, and that was the last words I ever talked to her. We just kind of shared a house and did our own things. We never ever communicated back and forth. I never asked anything to find out a little more what she likes and not likes. She likes olives now because she's hung out with me. I like a lot of things now. Still don't like walking a lot. Still don't like country music a whole lot. She hasn't rubbed that much off on me, I guess. But I've got another 40, 50 years, so I'm sure she might change me in those things. But we begin to get to know each other. But wouldn't it be sad? What kind of marriage would that be? Yet you and I are the bride. And Jesus is our groom. How will we remember Him? It's a question we need to think about on this Remembrance Sunday. Verse 2, turn your ears to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. What I see in there is the second step of seeking God involves submission and a teachable spirit, a desire to be taught by God. Are you open for God to change you? Are you open to change? To seeking God, anytime we come into God's presence, we see John in Revelations, he fell face down. We see the prophets of old taking a coal, cleanse my lips, I don't even deserve to be in your presence. Something changes every time we come into his presence. In fact, in the Word of God in the New Testament, it says from glory to glory, you and I are to change, to become more like his Son. So in this quest for seeking God, first is, God, give us a greater desire to get to know you, just you, as we get into his Word and we start to find out who he is. Second is, God, help me to be teachable. Help me to be changeable in whatever you would have and what you would have for my life. Number 3, in verse 3, indeed, if you're calling out for insight and crying aloud for understanding, I see then it develops into this passionate prayer life. Many of you might know Joyce Myers. I'm not sure what you think about her, but that doesn't matter. And that what matters is, as I heard a little comment one time passing by, she started to share just a little transparency at one moment. She said she came across this lady who prayed 2.5 to 3 hours every day. And Joyce Meyer sat there saying, oh my goodness, I'm not a very good Christian. Because when I pray 15 minutes, man, 15 minutes is hard. And that I get so distracted, I got to reset again, and then I feel like, oh, I got to start all over again. She says, and it's just so hard. And then she felt Holy Spirit started to prompt into her heart. And she says, wait a second here. Why are you comparing to one to another? I created you all different. And so even though Joyce Meyer said, man, I could barely pray 15 minutes and I'm already dysfunctioned and thought thinking this way and that way and I just can't focus. But she spends 2 to 3 hours a day studying God's word. Whereas this lady spent 2 or 3 hours praying and man, she could hear from God and press in. But when she started to read her word, she found if she read more than 15, 20 minutes, it would put her to sleep. Not because she didn't love the Lord, but it was just part of the way God wires us. So when we understand that we are a part of a body, but we are many parts, every part functions a little different. So just because you're passionate about one thing doesn't mean everyone has to be passionate about that. Just because you're good at one thing doesn't mean everyone has to be good at that. Or just because someone else is good at something doesn't mean you have to be good at it. And so that's where we boil everything down. Instead of looking at, you know, scales of how well we do and how much time this or how much do you serve? Well, I serve a lot. Or how much do you give? Or how much do you do? Let's just kind of lay those ones down. And let's just begin to focus back on the real reason why we're all here. And that's on the Lord himself. He says, when we lift him up, all men will be drawn unto him. When we focus on him, when we lay down the fact that we can come together on a Sunday and worship is incredible. With a diversity of age, with different ethnic backgrounds, and that with men and women, it is totally incredible and inspiring all at the same time. That we can come and we can do this thing. We can be this thing, I should say, called church. For we are the church. Because we know it's not about a song. It's not about color of walls or how fancy something is. It's all about one simple truth. God is with us. He loves you and he loves me. Verse 4. And if you look for it as silver and search for it as his hidden treasure, in this quest of seeking for God, and that make your quest for God a priority each day. Like searching for silver, that, or in the New Testament, when it talks about that coin that got lost, turned everything upside down just to find that coin, that treasure. Oh, may Jesus become our treasure once again. Don't forget your first love. Amen? Amen. And that, but as we begin to lift him up, and we begin to search for him, we begin to make it a priority every day, determined to meet and experience him before breakfast. Oh, it might look different all the time. It doesn't have to be a long thing. It can be a short thing. But just start your day with a thought on him. During your daily duties, find time to think about him. Seek him with your same zeal as which you would seek in that if your backyard, someone told you there was $1 million buried somewhere. Well, I don't know about you, I'd be hiring 15 bulldozers and backhoes and 100 people to shovel, but I wouldn't tell them what they were digging for, and then once they found it, I'd say, okay, you're all done, go home, and then I'd go get it myself. Oh, you know what, we need to, I know it's funny and that idea, but it's so true. How many times we can go to a hockey game, we can watch something, we can go do something we enjoy, and we can get, whoa, yes! And we can get so excited, and they score, and all of a sudden, what do you hear? And I can't do it right now because I'd hurt someone's ears, and that was screaming so loud because I have a microphone. But, you know, in that part is we get so excited. Yet when it comes to the King of Kings, the one who breathed life into existence, we can barely lift our voice. Oh, let's shake off heavy hands. Let's break through a little bit. Let's go past our Canadian conservativeness. And let's just enjoy his presence. Whatever it looks like, let's just enjoy his presence. But let's make it a priority. Because if it isn't, what you seek for is really what you're going to get. Right? It's not what you want, but it's who you are. That's really what makes the difference. You get what you are, not what you want. We have a lot of wants. Oh, I wish something would change. But it's only going to change if it changes here. So let it change here. In verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Really, number 5, in seeking God in verse 5, it's really springs this motivation that comes out from inside of us. A motivation really for a lifetime. If we seek him with all of our heart, we will experience the knowledge of the Holy One. In other words, you will find him. How many times do we walk through life? Maybe it's not anyone here, but I know for sure myself. And I hit a moment and I'm like, oh God, where were you? And you know the poem, Footprints? That was the time he was carrying you. God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you face, do you believe that today? How lofty are our ideas of God? And as I said before, I'm just trying to stir them a little bit. Amen? Just trying to stir them a little bit. On this Remembrance Sunday, if you can pull your green piece of paper out with you for a moment, you can mentally take note of what I'm going to say. You can mentally circle where we are. Unless you have a pen, you can use that too. But we're going to just take a moment here. You're welcome. We're going to take a moment here because on this Remembrance Sunday, the question is really how are you seeing God? How do you remember him? When we talk and we think about knowing God, the first hurdle we have to overcome involves our language. We use the word know in almost as many different ways as we use the word love. We can refer to three basic types of knowing. There's the word know, which means that whole part of factual. Like, I lived in Birmingham, England for a time. And I used to tell all my friends, I know the Queen. Why? Because I lived in England. And she's the head of England, so I know the Queen. But really, factually, I knew a lot of things about her because I would listen to the news and different things, but I never knew her. Do you get what I'm getting at? So when we say this word know, there's three different major ways we use this in our English language. One is the factual way. The second way that we use this word know is an experiential. We work in the same place. I know so-and-so because we work together. Oh, I know so-and-so because we go to church together. Or I know so-and-so because we do this or we do that together. But in reality is, maybe it's a little deeper than factual, that I know a few facts about them, a few things, to now I'm rubbing shoulders with them. We go to church, we work, or whatever. But how many know? How many times have you ever walked into work or you've walked somewhere, and as you walk up to them, someone comes walking up to you and say, hey, how are you doing? And before you have a chance to say anything, they're already gone. You know, or, man, I'm really concerned about you. Oh, yeah, you're doing good. Oh, great, great. No chance to respond. Or how many times have you gone to someone and say, hey, how are you doing? Great. And they got this plastic smile on. You know, they practice it all week long just in case anyone came up to them to ask them how they really were doing because they're raw inside, because they're really hurting. In this room today, I would dare to say statistics would tell me there's many hurting people here right now. You're facing things that you are just not letting someone else understand and know. Because you're either feeling embarrassed or you're feeling heavy weighted or you just don't know how to handle it or you don't feel that you want to burden anyone. There's a million things that come running through our hearts. But the truth of it is, I just simply want to simply say this. Don't forget we're real people. We all bleed. We all hurt. We live in real life and it's not fair. But as I've been trying to bring about and trying to stir that, please don't forget, even though we're real, even though we live in real life, we have a real Jesus. And he's more than able. And that part of sharing one another and growing one another and living and rubbing shoulders and lifting, that's how one of the ways God allows us to see him and to grow and to move past and to begin a healing process, to learn. But it doesn't come in that factual way. And it goes beyond just experiencing because we live and we work in the places. But it has that part about knowing. I know my wife. There's times I finish her sentences. There are times that I know exactly what she wants before she says it. And I can bring it to her and vice versa. Because we know each other. How vulnerable are we going to be with each other? Are we going to let our guards down to get to know each other, to help each other to grow? Are we going to let our guards down to get to know God and allow him? Well, I spent a year of my life pretending I was Jonah. You think I would understand it didn't work for him. Why would it work for me? But I didn't. Until I realized one day that, man, this is really hard. Running from God just doesn't work because every time I think I got a little further, I turn and he's there. How do you remember him? Let's take the green page and we'll finish right here. Number one, those who know God have great energy for him. Those that know God have great energy for him. I'm not talking factually know about him, because you can factually know about a lot of things and have no energy. But if you really know him, it says the joy of the Lord will be our... Oh, when you know him, you have great energy for him. When you have accurate view of God, you will have great energy to get into his word, When you see things that are wrong in the church, you will have energy to lovingly help fix them. When you see people in need, you will have energy to move in for God, to be the hands and the feet. You will have energy to pray. He becomes a priority in our life. If you have energy for God, you will have a pretty accurate view of who He is. Where do you fit on this scale, on this line? Mentally, just kind of circle where you are right now. It's not for anyone else. Or if you have a pen and you want to circle, where do you feel your energy level for God is today? Number two, those who know God have great thoughts of God. Great thoughts of Him. When you know God, there will be times in your prayer when you will hear yourself talking about His majesty. You'll hear yourself talking about His glory, His righteousness, His holiness, His purity, things that are just so vast beyond us, and you'll begin to start to talk about those things. You will discover that it is possible to love God with all of your mind. On a scale below, how do you remember Him? How do you see God between 1 and 10 today with your thoughts? Do your thoughts usually run away or thinking of everything else, or do your thoughts tend to run thinking about Him? What would He do? Remember that little bracelet, WWJD? What would Jesus do? Do your thoughts run in that direction? I wonder how He would handle this. Oh, you know what? Man, this beautiful sky. God, you're amazing. I can't believe this. Flying on a plane. Wow, God, I can't believe how you gave people these thoughts. This is amazing. On a scale of 1 to 10, mentally just circle or with a pen, where do you feel that you fit right now, today, with your thought life when you remember and think about Him? Number three, those who know God show great boldness for God. Not only have great energy, not only have great thoughts, but they show great boldness for God. When you have an accurate view of God in a fallen world, you have to continually choose between what the world thinks and what God says. People who really know God are bold in their choices. Among the early apostles, the great evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit had nothing to do about the gifts, but rather the boldness. There was great boldness that came upon him. Hebrews 11 is filled with references of great men and great women of faith. And the examples used to describe them almost always have something to do with their confidence in God. Knowing God, they went boldly. If you are bold about your convictions and are not controlled by what other people think, you have an accurate view of God. Fear of exposure indicates our low knowledge of God. So mentally, just kind of circle or with a pen between 1 and 10. Where you feel today, where you are. And lastly, those who know God have great contentment in Him. When you have an accurate view of God, you understand that He is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, and thoroughly good. He is for you and not against you. You can have difficulties, but you're not uptight, and you're not anxious, and you're not worrying. You don't allow those to control you because your life is under His care. You say the tribulation is a struggle, but the King of the universe, with all of His resources, who gave His Jesus for me, He dwells in me. I trust Him. He'll work it out. He'll work it out. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is one of my life verses. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will. He will make your path straight. Those who have great contentment in God reveal an accurate view of God. How does your present level measure up of your contentment in Him? Are you tossed by the worry and concerns of the world, or are you find yourself more anchored on Him? There's no right or wrong here, okay? So just put a circle mentally or with a pen where you fit or where you feel. Now, let's just pause and mentally, I want you to, if you're using a pen, you can put a square around this one, and we're just about done. Think about where you were last year on that list. Were you a little higher than where you are today on some of the things? Were you a little lower? So where do you feel you were on those four things? Just take a couple seconds and just put a square where you feel you were last year. Just take a moment for this. Just about done, so just hang on with me for a second here. By the way, while you're doing that, if you think in any way, when I was doing my evaluation and I was sitting down and thinking about this, that I scored tens, you're totally wrong. I did not score tens. And I was like, oh my Lord, God help me in this area. Oh my, I've fallen short in this area. I never scored tens. Don't let the enemy speak something into you right now. We all have room to grow. You do, and I do. That's why we're better together. See, the way you answer these four questions isn't so much about where you put yourself on the line, but where do you plan to go from here? So now what I want you to do is on each one of those, pause for a moment and write an arrow. Which way do you want to go? Do you want to go up? Or you want to go down? Just mentally do that, or whatever it might be. And when one of the areas, you can pick one of them, or you can do it for all of them. Just want you to pause for a moment and just reflectively look at that part and draw an arrow in which direction you want to go. How will you remember Him? We started with a song that we played while people were coming in, talked about how He's the lion and He's the Lamb. How will you remember Him? Maybe you're here today. Remember we talked about as a believer in Christ, when we get off track, our ground zero is the cross. To come back to the cross and get down before Him and humble ourselves and say, God, forgive me. Help me to reset. Maybe you're here today and you need to focus on the fact that Jesus is the Lamb, perfect Lamb that was sacrificed for you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as a personal Savior. And He's reaching out to you and He's saying, hey, I did all of this, not just for everyone else here. I did it for you. We're going to take a moment by closing, by just playing that song one more time. But maybe you need to focus on that. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, no, I know I love Jesus and I know He loves me. But maybe you forgot He's the Lion of Judah. That He is more than able to conquer anything that you will ever face. He's greater than anything that will come against you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. That when you don't know what to do, He is the God that knows everything. And that when you need wisdom, He's the God of wisdom. Everything flows from Him. And maybe you need to remind yourself of the fact that He's the Lion of Judah. So as we listen to this song, I'm going to ask you to reach out to Him. Say, God, hear my heart. And allow Him to speak into your heart of just how will you remember Him? But Lord, may you just come. Just come and fill us once again. Remind us of our first love. God, I thank you for Rockcliffe. I thank you for what you were doing here. I thank you for Owen Sound. God, Lord, it is such a time as this. You are just so wanting to reveal yourself. And you're looking for a few good men and a few good women that would stand in the gap. So today, Lord, I believe it's not just me, but I believe that there's many of us here that are saying, if you could use anyone, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I am willing, Lord. I am willing. God, I just bless each and every one, Lord, in the sound of my voice. I bless them. Would you cause your face to shine upon them? God, would you reveal yourself to them? Lord, would you remind them just how, Lord, how much you love them? Lord, that it wasn't them trying to find you, but you found them, that you revealed yourself to them. They're not having to do things to get your attention. You have done everything to get our attention. Oh, so Lord, I just pray that weight of having to do, be gone. Lord, help us to come into your presence. Lord, I don't do things to earn your love. I just can't help but doing things because I'm so overwhelmed by your love. God, I just thank you for that right now. Just flip the switch for someone today. Lord, just help them to see it differently. So, Lord, we bless you. We bless each and every one, and we thank you once again for what you're doing in our lives. And as we pause once again this coming November 11th, we remind ourselves to remember to give thanks. Lord, to give thanks and to pay honor. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for all you have done and all you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you lots. Thanks for giving us a few more minutes. And we'll see you next week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.